sisters from across the country. And what a wonderful blessing it is. Appreciate again the good humble prayer and ask that you please continue to pray, us being in great need of the Holy Spirit of God and realizing how poor and needy that we are. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 1 to begin. Daniel chapter 1, we find where the children of Israel are in a very difficult time. They've been brought into 70 years of captivity. They've sinned against the Lord. They were told by the Lord in Leviticus chapter 25 that when they came into the promised land, they were to let the land rest every 7 years. And they were not to sow the land or reap the land. And even if crops came up volunteer, they were not to reap of that. And they did not do what the Lord said. They had worshiped false gods and heathen gods, and God Almighty delivered them into the land of Babylon. And it's dark days for the children of Israel. We begin by saying, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. We see that Jerusalem has been conquered by an enemy king of Babylon. We see the house of God has been laid waste, and the vessels of the house of God have now been taken into a false god's place of worship. It's very difficult days for the children of Israel. We're introduced to some young men here that have been taken captive out of the land that they loved, the land that they knew. But we'll see how, even in the midst of these very difficult days, that these young men continue to trust in the Lord. And even in the captivity of this time, the Lord is still with them. And the Lord still blesses them. Said, and the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Here the king of Babylon has an idea to take of the very best of the land, the very best of the land of Israel and of the royal seed of the king and of the greatest young people and children, and to teach them the ways of the Babylonians. Certainly, if somebody's wanting to influence a culture, they often start with the young folks. They often start with the young people. Sometimes the devil tries to do that when he wants to carry away people with false doctrines. A lot of times they'll say, if we can get into the minds of the young people, we can bring them over to our way of thinking. Here the king of Babylon says, if we can get the very best of the very best of Israel and be able to teach them in the ways of the Babylonians, then they'll see that our way is the best way. Probably the young men that we're being introduced here, of course, we know of Daniel, and we know of Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. They had Hebrew godly names, and they had wonderful names. The name of Daniel literally means God is my judge. The name of Hananiah means God has favored. The name of Mishael means who is, what God is. Now, what a name. To have a name that my name means who is, what God is. And Azariah's name means Jehovah has helped. These were men, young men with godly names. We don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how old Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were, but they were young men, likely between 15 and 20 years of age. They were likely late teenagers. Very young men who had been snatched away from their homeland and all they knew and all they held dear. But I'm going to tell you, they continue to trust in the Lord. They continue to have faith in Him. And the Lord, even in this terrible Babylonian captivity, the Lord still blesses them. And the Lord still takes care of them. The word Babylon literally means confusion. And as we look at what these young men were dealing with, certainly I think we can all identify that we're in a world of confusion, that we're in a world where it seems like everything can be all confused and mixed up. But in the midst of a confusing world, we still have the same Lord that they have. And in the midst of even the trials and the tribulations of this time, where it seems like our world has been turned upside down by coronavirus, even in the midst of that, we can still rely on the same Lord, the same God that they relied on. I love that song we sing, the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. He's just as powerful. He's just as wondrous. He's just as glorious as he was in the book of Daniel. They go and they begin to execute their plan here upon the Hebrew children. And the plan is that they'll feed them the king's meat and give them the king's drink and give all the instruction and knowledge of the Babylonians. And then after 3 years, they'll stand before the king. So they begin upon this plan and they take Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We've come to know the three Hebrew children more by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I'll tell you, they may have changed their names, but they didn't change who they were. They may have given them some heathen names, but I'll tell you, the Lord still blessed them in the midst of it. I love what it says in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel purposed something in his heart. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to do the right things in our life, and if we're going to do what God says do, we need to have his word in our heart. I love what it says in Psalms chapter 119, where it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'll tell you, we keep things in our heart that we hold most dear. Usually when we're holding a little baby, we'll hold it right at the level of our heart. Even in our firearms instruction as a probation officer, when they teach us to retain our weapon, a lot of times they tell us to put it in and keep it close to the heart because our power, our strength is in our center. We keep the weapon closer to the heart. It's harder for an enemy to take it away. And I'll tell you, Daniel purposed something in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or with the portion of the king's wine. He knew that that's not what God wanted. He knew that a lot of that would have been contrary to the Levitical law, and that a lot of that wine and a lot of that food would have also have been blessed in the name of a heathen pagan god. And Daniel said, I can't do it. Daniel purposed something in his heart, and he stayed true to it. Bible said he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel didn't come up there haughtily or come up there in a brass fashion, but Daniel, in great wisdom, asked, can I please not defile myself? And he came with a good attitude and in a good way. And I'll tell you, there's a lesson in that. Even when we're coming to men that are in authority in an ungodly government, to still come with respect and to still come asking in the right way. The Bible tells us in the next verse that God had brought Daniel into the favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You see, the Lord's given him favor of his captors, and God is still blessing him, even in the midst of captivity. The Lord's still with them, and the Lord still blessed them. They make a request that instead of eating the king's meat and the king's drink, that is which had been offered and to pagan gods and was contrary to the Levitical law, that they might have water to drink and pulse to eat. Pulse was vegetables, likely beans or peas, and they said, let us just have this. And at first, those individuals in authority over them didn't want to do it, because they said, surely, if you're eating the king's meat and you're drinking the king's drink, you're going to look a lot better and a lot healthier if you're eating this good Babylonian drink than if you're just drinking that old water and that pulse, those vegetables, those beans and peas. He said, test us for 10 days. And so they agreed to do it. And at the end of those 10 days, they saw that the children of Israel, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, and Daniel looked fairer and fatter, the Bible said, in flesh, than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, by fair and fatter, it doesn't mean fat in the sense of the way we would think of the word fat, but like I've eaten too much fried chicken, but it means literally healthier and fairer. When they did it God's way, it was a better way than the way of Babylon. And I'll tell you, so it is today. We ever think the ways of Babylon or this world are better than God's way, we are sorely mistaken. But I'll tell you, God's ways was better in the times of Daniel, and God's ways are better in 2020 in the world in which we live. They go and they see that they look better, so they let them for those 3 years have water and have pulse to do it God's way. At the end of those 3 years, they come before the king. Verse 17, it says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. Were they smarter because they learned the ways of Babylon better? No. God's the one that gave them the knowledge. God is the one that blessed them. They were looking unto God for their wisdom and for their knowledge. God blessed them with that. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. It said at the end of the days, after the king, they had come before the king at the end of those 3 years, and the king found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. God's way was the best way. Their wisdom and learning didn't come from the Babylonians. I'll tell you, their wisdom and learning came from God in which they serve. And I'll tell you, the Lord's still able to bless us with wisdom today. James chapter 1, the Bible tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally or bountifully, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Here's a promise from God that if we ask for wisdom, the Lord will grant it. Goes on to say, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea tossed with the wind. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Then he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded man's a man that straddles the fence. A double-minded man is a man that waffles and wavers with the culture of the day and ebbs and flows with the winds that may blow. We need to be single-minded people. We need to be like Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that stood for what's right no matter what, that didn't blow whether they were in the kingdom of Babylon or whether they were in the kingdom of Judah, but said, this is what God says, and this is what we're going to hold to. This is what we're going to trust in. This is what we're going to do. They trusted in the Lord, and the Lord blessed them with great wisdom. They leaned on the Lord for wisdom. We see in the next chapter that the king of Israel, that the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, has dreamed a dream. And the dream greatly troubles him, but he can't remember what the dream is. So he goes and he calls all the wise men of Babylon and the very smartest men that are in the realm, and he tells them, he said, you tell me what I dreamed, and you tell me the interpretation thereof. Well, these men said, whoa, king, we'll tell you the interpretation of your dream, but you got to tell us the dream. He's like, I don't remember the dream. And y'all are trying to trick me. Y'all just going to tell me something. And he gets so angry, he orders all the wise men of Babylon to be put to death. That includes Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The king's command goes forth. Verse 12 says the king was furious, commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so say hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel responded in great counsel and wisdom. You see, the Lord had blessed Daniel with wisdom, and I believe Daniel was asking the Lord for wisdom, and that's something we need to ask for every day, the way James 1 tells us we should, that if we'll ask for wisdom, the Lord will grant it. Has there ever been a time where the Lord's people need any more wisdom than we need it today? The Lord said, if you ask me for wisdom and faith, I will grant it. May we ask for it. Daniel's wisdom was not into making a demand to the captain of the king's guard. It was an asking a question. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times when folks are mad and tempers have flared, if we in gentleness simply ask a question, a lot of time it diffuses the whole situation. Here, Daniel asked a question, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And the captain made all of it known unto Daniel. Then Daniel goes in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, a little bit earlier, when the king had called all the wise men of Babylon and said, you show me the dream, I don't remember it, and you give me the interpretation, their response was, no man can do this. We can't do it. That's not what Daniel said. Daniel said, give me a little time. Where did Daniel go? Did Daniel have some knowledge of this on his own, that he could do what the king of Babylon had commanded? No, Daniel didn't have anything on his own, but he served a God that knew. Daniel goes to his friends. He goes to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in verse 18, he goes to them and asks them that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. He goes to his friends and say, let's pray to the God of heaven. We know we don't deserve to know this, but let us pray for his mercy. Let us pray and see if the Lord will reveal this unto us. Don't ever think that prayer doesn't make a difference. Here's something that all the wise men of Babylon says nobody can do. And Daniel realized that any of himself and his friends, they couldn't do it, but they realized they served a God that can do it. And they bowed upon their knees and they looked to a holy God and desired the mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret. Now I'll tell you, God answered that prayer. And God revealed unto Daniel in a night vision what the king had dreamed and what the dream meant. He goes into the king, and the king says, art thou able, verse 26, to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel said, answered in the presence of the king, and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king. He said, you've gone to the brightest and to the smartest in all the world, O king, but they couldn't give you what you needed to know. But he points him to another place and says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head are these. And he begins to tell him the dream. Daniel shows great humility in this. He said, this wasn't given to me because I'm better, I'm smarter than any man. I just serve a sovereign, all-powerful, mighty God. And the Lord blessed. He begins to tell the dream. In that dream, and I'll just read one verse before we go to the next chapter that I'd like to finish up with. He talks about a statue that he's dreamed about. And this statue represents all the world kingdoms. But it ends with a stone that was out of a mountain made without hands. And that stone's an everlasting kingdom. Said it became a great mountain and it filled the whole earth. Verse 44 of Daniel 2 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and gold, all of those other world kingdoms, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. The Lord blessed Daniel to interpret the dream of this Babylonian king that would look through all the world kingdoms and would end with the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe the kingdom we're blessed to be in tonight, and it's a kingdom that'll never end. Babylon came to an end. Greece and Medo-Persia came to an end. The Roman Empire came to an end. But little child of God, we're in a kingdom tonight that'll stand forever, worshiping the King above all kings and the Lord above all lords. We're in an everlasting kingdom. What a blessing that is. You know, I can't help but think, when some wise men came in the New Testament, they came to Bethlehem and said, where is he? Or came to Jerusalem there and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. You know, the Lord gave some divine revelation to those wise men. He had blessed them to follow that star, to see that star in the east. And he blessed them to follow that star till it came and led them to where the Christ child was. But I'll tell you, if you look up that word, they're rendered wise men in the New Testament, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see that it refers back to the wise men of Babylon. You know, because Daniel was able to answer the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar, that he made him the master of the magicians. He made him the master of the wise men. He put him over all. We can see how much Daniel cared about the truth. He was willing to die for the truth if he needed to. We'll see him later in the den of lions, because he's always going to try to do what's right. He cared about the truth. He taught them about an everlasting kingdom that would never be destroyed. And I can't help but think that although God Almighty gave those wise men in the New Testament, those wise men from the East, some special revelation and knowledge, I think they were probably descended from some of the teaching of Daniel. And Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, these four Hebrew children that were just young men, but they were young men who tried to serve the Lord. And I'll tell you, they made a difference in their life when they were young. The Bible tells us, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. I'll tell you, we don't need to wait until we're middle-aged or older to get serious about serving the Lord, but we can make a tremendous difference in our service to God when we're young, and we should. Look at the difference these men made. And I believe that the teaching of an everlasting kingdom and of a Messiah that would come, that would be the King above all kings and the Lord above all lords, that would have a kingdom that would never end, continue to be taught down through the generations, and those wise men that came to see the King of the Jews and to worship him had likely been embraced in some of the teaching of this godly man of God, this man named Daniel, and these other three Hebrew children. I'll tell you, they trusted in God no matter what. Though they were in the land of Babylon, they didn't act like Babylonians. They act like children of the kingdom. I want to end up, I know we're running out of time, quickly. In the next chapter, Nebuchadnezzar sets up a great image of gold, the image he had dreamed about. He said, well, let me just set this thing up and I'll make people worship it. And he gave a command, when you hear the sound of the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, when you hear all these musical instruments come on, you fall down and you worship the golden image which I have made. Of course, the Hebrew children wouldn't do that. They were accused for not doing that. The penalty in verse 6 of Daniel 3 was, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fire furnace. You know, sometimes it takes us a long time in the United States of America to get to the end of the death penalty. There's all kind of appeals. There's all kind of delays. But I'll tell you, in the kingdom of Babylon, he said, in the same hour you violate this law, you'll be thrown in the cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. They're brought before the king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They're brought before the king. The king gives them another chance. He said, at the time you hear the sound of the sackbut, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I made. Well, but if not, you'll be thrown into the midst of a burning fire furnace. Verse 16, we give the answer of the Hebrew children. He said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That means they didn't have to think about what they were going to say. They knew what was right, and their job now was to have the courage and the faith to do what was right, and that is not bow down to this pagan heathen idol. You know, a lot of times we as little children of God, it's not that we don't know what to do. It's that we need the courage and the strength and the faith to do what we know to be right. He said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We know what the right thing is to do. And they're going to do it. He said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire and furnace. He said, he has enough power to do it. If he wants to do it, he is able to do it. He has the strength to do it. He has the power to do it. He has the might to do it. But he said, if not, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. He said, we know he's going to deliver us. Whether we die in that fiery furnace and go to heaven, or whether we die, or whether he delivers us and we never go into that fiery furnace, whichever way the Lord deems appropriate, he's going to deliver us. You know, we have that truth and that blessing today. You know, as little children of God, who the Lord Jesus Christ died for us on Calvary's tree, if some virus of this world does take our life, we'll just go immediately upon our last breath, and our soul and spirit will immediately be with the Lord in heaven in a world of glory. So either way, the Lord delivers us. Perhaps he delivers us when we don't have any diseases, where he delivers us out of sicknesses. But perhaps even if we do, our eyes will open, basking in the glory of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. The king gets very angry that they won't fall down and worship the golden image. He tells them to heat the furnace 17 times more than is wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men, the very strongest men in his military, the most mighty men in all the army. These were the special forces of Babylon. These were like the Navy SEALs. They said, you strongest men of Babylon, you most mighty men of Babylon, you Navy SEALs, you take these men and you put them in this furnace that's heated up 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated. Says the men were bound in their coats and their hosen and in their hats and other garments. They were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The Bible said that the fire was so hot that this most mighty men, these Navy SEALs of Babylon, that the flames were so hot that they instantly died because of the heat. Said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound in the midst of the furnace. Now the picture here is they were shackled, their hands were shackled. The picture is that their feet were shackled. They're all bound up. They can't walk in the shackles. They can't move their hands in the shackles. And they fall down in this burning, fiery furnace. But look what happens. Verse 25. The king looks down there. He said, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. He said, when we put them in there, they fell down, shackled hand and foot into the burning fiery furnace. Now they're not in bounds anymore. Now they're free. Now they're free. They put them down there in bonds, bound hand and foot. Now the bonds are gone. The handcuffs and the shackles are gone. They are free. And they're walking in the midst, freely, in the midst of the fire. And they're not alone. Said, in the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I'll tell you, these children, these Hebrew children, were in bondage and in captivity in the Babylonian Empire. I'll tell you, the Lord was still with them. And I'll tell you, when Jesus Christ came with them, and I believe that fourth one was the Lord Jesus Christ who came to them in compassion and comfort and rest. And I believe that's why they were so safe right there in that burning fiery furnace. The Bible said their clothes didn't smell like fire. None of their hair was even singed. I remember one time lighting a gas stove, and I turned up the gas too much, and it burned all my eyebrows off. It singed my hair real good. But I'll tell you, there in the middle of a burning fiery furnace, heated up seven times more than it had ever been heated, and their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Their hair wasn't singed. They had been in bondage when they were thrown into the furnace. But I'll tell you, with the Son of God walking at their side, they're free. They're free. I love what it says in Galatians, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free." And I'll tell you, we're free in the Lord Jesus Christ. We may live in an old world that's like Babylon, but I'll tell you, with the Lord Jesus Christ by our side, he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And even if we're thrown in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace, the Lord will be there. He will help us. And that right early. What a wondrous Lord we serve. No matter what days we go through in this life, may we do what God says is right for us to do. May we never shrink back in faith. May we never bow down and worship the false idols of this world. Whatever this world may do to us, I'll tell you, our God's able to deliver us. And he will deliver us in some form or fashion. He will deliver us. Aren't you thankful we have a Lord that'll never leave us nor forsake us? And even if we're thrown in the midst of a burning fiery furnace, he's still there. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.